I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. Can everybody hear me? Everybody see me? That's good. As long as you don't smell me, I guess that's a good thing. But here we're going to shift gears a little, if that's all right. Most times this is an address of some sort. But we'd like to go back to Christianity 101, if you would, and present the gospel in a manner that perhaps we've never seen it before, and yet it's the truth of God. Boys and girls, you who are being brought up in Christian home, I want to seek to impress upon you the Word of God. You're not being lied to. You're not being told fables. You have in your household this book, the Word of God, and it's a living book. It's from God Himself. But the gospel is good news, and it's true. We're going to look at the WWW in God's Word. We're going to look at three aspects of who this man is: the true God, the living God, and the Son of God. And we're going to do that by using the Word of God. And so before we get started, let's sing 66 in the back of the book. It says, "Come, hear the gospel sound, yet there's room." And boys and girls, older ones too, you need to realize time is running out on us. Jesus is coming, perhaps even today. He perhaps may come in September. Everything seems to be right for His coming. Fourth verse says, God's house is filling fast. Some guest will be the last. Will that be you tonight? Somebody in this room, are you going to be the last guest? Wouldn't that be a thrill? Confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord, and we just all go home. Are you looking forward to that time, young people, when the Lord comes and takes us home? He is coming. Let's sing the first, well, let's sing the whole hymn, 66 in the back of the book. Come
here.
ask the Lord's help. Father and our God, we do thank Thee this evening, yet there is room. The door is open. Boys and girls, men and women can come through the door to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We thank Thee the work has all been completed there at the cross, and God raised Him from the dead. So our Father, we just ask for help as we spend a few moments over Thy word. We realize, too, there may be one in this room or two or three lost in their sins. Oh, we just earnestly pray for them. Pray for the little boys and girls as they're getting older and as we've been reminded about that day of accountability. We ask for blessing and help. Just thank Thee for Thy love and grace, Lord Jesus, in Thy name. Amen. I guess I'll take Bernie's advice. He introduced himself, his name, I'm Bernie. Well, I'm not Bernie, I'm Richard. I'm from Richmond, Michigan, the other side of the state. But we have a message for you that comes all the way from the heart of God. And it's my desire, if I possibly can, to bring that heart of God to you and to realize that God in heaven loves you. They say the most wanted three words that people want to hear is simply, I love you. Perhaps there's somebody in this room who feels in a kind of state that nobody really loves them, nobody cares. But this evening, my friend, God loves you. Many of you are aware of what the WWW is in this world, and if you ever go on it, it's hard to tell what is true and what is false. There's so much out there, there's no standard of who's right, who's wrong. So I'm going to look at the WWW that Jesus presents. First one is in John 14. John 14 is the fourth book in the New Testament. Peter and, or Philip and Thomas were asking him questions. Have you ever asked the Lord any questions? But they were asking him questions and they, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way. That's the first W. We need to have a way, and we need to make sure that that way is the right way, the safe way, and that way is going to take us all the way home to glory. Jesus says, I am the way. He doesn't explain the way. He doesn't elaborate on it. He simply says, I am the way. And that's important, my friend, because Jesus is telling them just prior, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And we don't want anybody in this room to die in your sins because you believe not that I am. Now, that may not mean much to us as Gentiles in the present moment, but it did to them. If he was telling them that he was the very one that Moses talked to. Remember, he says, I am that I am. And there are people who laugh at that. But it doesn't change the fact, does it? There are some people sitting over here, and there are some people sitting over here, and you can't read these signs or verses. Does that change the fact that there are two signs up here just because you can't read them? No, they're still there. And God's way is still there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they came to Jesus again and said, well, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And that really ticked them off. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. And here was the great I am standing in their very presence. And in a sense, Jesus is standing here, arms outstretched. I liked that yesterday. One arm marks of Calvary. The other one, pleasures of sin for a season. What is your choice? The work is done. We were singing about it. Work is done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, T-R-U-T-H. He is the truth. He's also the life. Well, that's the first W. Let's turn over to the sixth chapter. Some people would say, oh, if I only knew what God's will is for me in my life. If I only knew what His will was for me in my life. Jesus tells us. John 6, verse 40. This is the will of Him that sent me. Everyone which seeth the Son, believeth on Him, may have everlasting life. Wow, that's the will of God. He wants you to be saved, my friend. You can't work your way to heaven. Heard a story one time of a doctor who was a big help to a patient, and the patient insisted on paying. No, it's free. I want to do this because I care about you and your family and I love you. Oh, no, I got to pay for it. Okay, it's $10 million. You owe me $10 million. He wanted to pay for it, but the price was such that he couldn't. And that's what the gospel message is. We cannot pay because we can't. Scripture says the wages of sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's a marvelous thing here to think that it's the will of Him that sent me. Who was that? Epistle of John. The Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Is He your Savior? Is He really your Savior, boys and girls? I trust you have Bible readings at home. The parents open up the Scriptures and you read together. You're reading the Word of God, and it's God's will that you embrace the truth of it. Well, some people may say, well, I'm kind of confused about the way, and I'm not sure about God's will, but I want to work my way. I want to work my way to heaven. Certainly I can do that. Turn over to John 6 again. Of course, you probably haven't left it, so we're still there. John 6, 28. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Isn't that marvelous? His will and His work is for you to believe. We had these verses for the VBS in Richmond and Port Huron. First one says, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. What do you know? Everybody in this world, everybody in this room, as a God of some sort. Do you know you have eternal life? Do you know? Question, do you know? How many in this room really want to work their way to heaven? I have a $5 bill in my pocket. Who wants a $5 bill? Anybody want a $5 bill? This is what you have to do to earn, to work for this $5 bill, is to look at that verse and show me how do I work to get that. These things have I written unto you that believe. What were those things? The thing in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's not a question of works, not a question of doing, not a question of going. It's a question of having the Son. So where do I find works in this verse? Anybody ever see one of these before? Yeah, you have any in Michigan? Yeah, you have a famous one in Michigan. It's in the Upper Peninsula. It's a waterfall. And I understand in some of these waterfalls, you get into this part of it, the only place you're going is down. And friend, we don't want you to get to that place in your life where the only recourse is down. Way back in Job, he could say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. What's the name of the falls in the Upper Peninsula? Yeah, it's a tongue twister, isn't it? Turquamenon Falls. You know, say this is the falls, maybe about 30 miles down, there's a little town called Paradise. Paradise. Is that where you're headed, boys and girls? Paradise. But way down by the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, there's another town called Hell. There was a little community and they wanted to start up and they said, well, what are we going to call it? And they were mocking and joking among themselves and call it Hell for all I care. And that's what they did. They called this town Hell. And it's interesting to me, way up here, the Upper Peninsula, there's a town called Paradise. Way down here is a town called Hell, and that which separates them is the Straits of Mackinac. And that which separates paradise and hell, my friend, is the cross of Calvary. Not any work that you can do, the cross. I want to turn to Galatians chapter 1. And boys and girls, those of you who are privileged to be brought up in a Christian home in this country, I want you to realize that what you are hearing is the truth of God. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, listen very carefully, boys and girls, you are not being taught the perverted gospel. You are being presented the truth of God. Your parents have embraced it. They realize the truth of who this one is. And Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If we say, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Don't despise the Bible readings. I know you're young and you're growing up and you look around and the world is so inviting. I was young one time too, hard to believe. We were driving to Sunday school and with a family and fellow in the back seat, talking, and I said, well, the Lord Jesus may come any moment. He said, they've been saying that for years. He didn't believe the message. Now, how many of you really believe there's a gospel verse on this text up here? A couple of hands go up. That's what faith is. You don't know if there is or not. I could have been just quoting this. But there's a verse on here. And you believe by faith. And over here, this one's even more difficult. You probably can't even see that. This one has a sunset. And my friend, the older we get, the sun is setting. Some of us, our bags are packed and we're ready to go. The Lord Jesus is coming. The sun is, our life is almost over. Yours is just beginning. But this is the grandeur of the scriptures, boys and girls. You need to realize and take it in by faith. We know. That's what Christianity is all about. We know. It's a settled thing. The Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There's a lot of things in that verse. The most important one is we know and that Jesus Christ is the true God. It's not simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior. God said He is. The Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Be it known therefore unto you men and brethren that through this man is what? Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And in His birth, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. So that was a common knowledge, if I could say it in that sense. The Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. But what the religious people of the world rejected was the fact that this one, Jesus Christ, was God. God manifest in flesh. And boys and girls, young people, and you grow up and you reject the counsels of God concerning His Son, you're treading very dangerous ground. You're not going to have the strength to make the decisions that you're going to come across that a brother sought to present to us. You need stability. I think I saw someone, a couple of people wearing a shirt. Who is your anchor? Who is your anchor? Let's be real. Who is your anchor? He made a comment. He's not here to beat anybody up. I'm not here either to beat anybody up. But I want to show historically how the enemy of your soul works. Anybody here have an idea what happened in 1827? I wasn't here, so I have to read books and I have to, people tell me. What happened in 1827, 26, 27, 28? There was a movement of the Spirit of God taking boys and girls, men and women, out of Thyatira, out of Sardis, and building Philadelphia. There was a movement of the Spirit of God and the recovery of the truth of God. It didn't change the truth of God. It didn't add to the truth of God. It simply brought out what was already there. The devil didn't like that. And he doesn't like it today. I was stunned. This really happened. 1827, marvelous work. 1830, Joseph Smith comes on the scene. 1840, William Miller comes on the scene. 1863, Ellen White comes on the scene. 1870, Charles Russell comes on the scene. 1875, Mary Eddy comes on the scene. Those names may not mean much to you, but they are counterfeits, my friend. I say this in love. They didn't come to expound the scriptures of J.N. Darby in 1827. They altered it. They brought in their own book. They brought in their own translation. They brought in their own feelings, their own thoughts. And we have these very people, their systems, with us today. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And almost every one of these deny the Son of God come manifest in flesh. They'll say he is the Son of God, but they won't say that he is God. And that's true. Jesus Christ, the true God. So boys and girls, when you have your Bible readings, don't despise it. Think of all the masses of people in the world. These groups have millions of souls who bow down to them. And they have no life, no joy, no peace, because they don't have the Son. 1 John, Epistle of John, you read it very carefully, young people, doesn't pull any punches. Not that he's beating you up, but he just doesn't pull any punches. Let's turn to one verse. Talks about liars. I trust there's no liars in this room tonight. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. I have three piles of paper on this platform here. There are verses that I'm going to read. I did it simply for time's sake, because if I took time to read them in the scriptures, I'd run out of time. But they're here. And I have three sets. One deals with the Son of God, one deals with the living God, and one deals with the true God. The true God. And that's who I seek to present to you tonight. The true God. Boys and girls, the scriptures that you're being taught at home are the truth of God. Your parents are seeking to present to you the true God. 2 Chronicles 15:3 says, there was a long season Israel hath been without the true God. I wonder if there's somebody in this room tonight who is without the true God. Your world has fallen apart. Nowhere to turn. Turn to the true God. Pharaoh had 10 gods that they worshipped in Egypt. And Jehovah, the true God, tested every one of those gods. And there was no deliverance. Why? They weren't the true God. And they weren't a living God. Jeremiah 10:10 says, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, everlasting King. It's Jesus. Doesn't that thrill your heart when you stop to think of who this one is? Jesus. John 17, he prays to his Father, this is life eternal. That I work my way to heaven? No. That I pray my way into heaven? No. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? This verse over here, it's not in the new translation as it is here. We simply present the King James Version to the children. They don't complicate things. But it says here, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That second phrase, believe on the Son of God, isn't there. But I like it because I like to connect it in this context. John could say, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And my friend, if the Son of God takes away the sin of the world, how am I supposed to do anything about it? I can't work. I can't pray. I can't do anything. He takes it away. And then the next day he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so I like it in this context, the second phrase, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Paul can say, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection." Do you know Jesus tonight? He knows everything about you. But do you know him? And the sad thing about it, in a sense, is he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Not Joseph Smith, not William Miller, not Ellen White, not Charles Russell, not Mary Eddy. "My sheep hear my voice." And the older you get and go to school, college, work, you're going to come across people who have embraced these people. And they're going to throw ringers at you. And you have to have a solid foundation, young people. Let me throw this out. How many in this room ever remember a brother named Clarence Lundeen? When I was a young boy, he came to the meeting in Detroit. And he told us, young people, you go to school and you have homework to do. And if you take those homeworks, those books, and you do not get down on your knees before God and ask for preservation, they're going to take you away from the truth of God. Very subtle. They're not going to take you away from your salvation, because once you're saved, you're always saved. But you're going to embrace things that aren't the truth of God. I had the privilege of being at a wedding this past Valentine's Day. Valentine is a nice day. You have the heart, and I love you, and so forth. And this couple thought it'd be cool to get married on Valentine's Day. And they did. And they asked me to say a 10, 15-minute gospel. And so I did. And after the talk, one of the older brothers from the state of Washington came up to me and shook my hand and said, "Brother, there's a young man here brought up in a Christian home, went off at school, and now he denies everything. He has embraced philosophy. He has embraced psychology." It's real, boys and girls. Is the living God, is the Son of God, is the true God so impregnated in your soul, and you see it, and it's real. I don't see him. Maybe he's not here. But there was a brother who was in Richmond for a while, going to school, and he would, after breaking the bread, stand up and minister to us, make some comments. 3 or 4 or 5 weeks back to back. One day, he gets up and he simply says, "Brethren, I finally realized that there is a living man in the glory." Boys and girls, Jesus is a living man. This is just some exercise your parents go through, and it's their Christian duty. They're seeking to present to you a living man, a Savior. And after that, man, that brother just took right off. Spiritually, just accelerated. The Lord gave him a tremendous wife and beautiful family. Why? Because what he read about It's easy to be a parrot. But in his own soul, he realized that there's a living man in glory. And it touched his heart to realize that. He, as it were, saw, like Paul, caught up into the third heaven, saw the risen Christ in glory. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God." We present to you tonight, my friend, a true God. God's house is filling fast. He's true, and he wants you to realize it, that one day that last seat is going to be taken, be left behind. Psalm 42 says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Wow. David longed to come into the presence of God. Why? Because he was living. He was living. How many in this room have ever seen a real live idol? One hand has seen a live idol. They're not living. We have a house somewhere in the neighborhood, and there's a Buddha sitting there. He's not alive. He has eyes, can't see. He has ears, can't hear. He can't do anything. When the rain comes, he can't get out of the rain. When the snows come, he freezes like everybody else does. And yet people bow down to this thing. Why? Because they've been taught as a child. And they get older, and they teach their children. And dear parents, you have in your hands the Word of God. It's living, it's powerful, it's quick. And you would seek to present to your children the living and true God. Jeremiah 10:10 says, "The Lord is the true God. He is the living God." The thrilling aspect to me is when he's referred to as the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. At his birth, he was announced as such. His first temptation in the wilderness, the devil challenged him, "If thou be the Son of God." And boys and girls, it may not be a decision that you may be confronted with, but the devil is going to challenge you. The devil is going to challenge you whether or not you believe. Whether or not you believe. All through his life, the demons, "We know who thou art, thou Holy One of God. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" There at the cross, they railed on him, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." The disciples on the boat said, "We believe thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." The centurion, when the Lord was crucified, saw the earthquake, saw the Lord die. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And so it's the Son of God in the gospel that's being presented tonight. We know. We know. What do you know tonight? John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The hour is coming," John 5:25, "and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they which hear shall live." So here's my question to you tonight, John 9:35. Jesus heard that he had been cast out. And you may be cast out too. You take a stand for Christ, you're going to find a lot of opposition. You may even find yourself kicked out of your own home. I don't know. I'm not a Jew. But there have been Jews who've come to Christ and they've been kicked out of their homes. Totally ostracized. Here is a man who found himself in that position. Jesus heard that he had been cast out, and when he had found him, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And the man says, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" "Oh, I that speak unto thee am he." He just opened his eyes. And perhaps there's somebody here tonight and your eyes have been opened to realize the gospel message. It's not of works. It's not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Are you trying to work your way? When I was a young person, I always thought that was kind of a strange thing. People trying to work their way to heaven. But I was worked in a pulmonary lab in Detroit, Henry Ford Hospital. They call it a health system now. But one of the pulmonary doctors named Dr. Basha, and he was in a hurry. The more patients you see, the more money you make. And somebody asked him, "Why are you in a big hurry?" And as he was walking down the hall, he says, "I'm working my way to heaven." And that's the first time in my life that I actually heard somebody say he's working his way to heaven. Short time later, he transfers out of Henry Ford Hospital and he goes to Port Huron. And who becomes his patient but Howard Bender, who gives him the gospel. You can't run away from God. You can't run away. He loves you. He'll draw you to him. But he won't beat you in the head either. He, as it were, beat his son. "He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Scripture says, "I am the man that seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath." One other story happened. I was working. The Lord was gracious. There was a number of Christians in the lab, but our boss wasn't. He was running here and there, busy, busy, busy. And Christine asked him, "Richard, where are you going? You're so busy." And this is what he said, young people. He was about 30 years old. He says, I'm going to hell. He's busy doing things. "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to hell." 2 weeks, he was gone into eternity. Died. 2 weeks, he was gone. Where are you headed? Eternity is real, heaven or hell. Jesus came, shed his blood, died on the cross, that you might have life, have it more abundantly. The issues of life are real. "These things have I written unto you that believe." Well, what if I don't believe? What if I don't believe? What's going to happen? Well, turn to Revelation. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Is it so incredible, my friend, that there is a lake of fire? There's a lake of salt called Salt Lake. Look, if there's salt, why can't there be fire? It's been said of St. Clair, it's a good lake, but it's not a great lake. You know, these are things that you shouldn't laugh about. They're real. The liars aren't simply those who tell a lie. The liars are those who reject the counsels of God concerning His Son. And you are telling God Himself that He is a liar. And God says, no, the other way around. Some of this, young people, you may take one way or another. But there is a day coming when you're going to be married. And you're going to have a family. And you're going to have a child. And then it really hits you. Wow, what am I going to bring to this child? I have a responsibility of bringing Christ, the Savior, to my child. It's real. It's real. You may not see it, but it's hanging on the wall. You may not see this one hanging on the wall. Both of these verses have water. This one, I like to think of it as the cross. All the judgment of God poured out on His Son, the waves, the billows, everything just poured right on top of Him. This one, you and I, waters are calm. Peace has been made through the blood of His cross. Do you have peace tonight, my friend? Do you have peace through the blood of Jesus? He's made peace. He preaches peace. He is peace. We know the Son of God has come, given us an understanding that we may know Him. I don't know if I can get away with this or not. I heard someone singing it to her daughter. Let's sing that little chorus. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Is that going to offend anybody? If you're happy and you know it. This is what this word means. We know. We know. Well, let's give it a try. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And there's a verse in John that tells us that we have the witness of God in ourself. And we know if we don't know. We know if we're not saved. We know if we have no clue what I'm even talking about. God has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. How many are interested in another little story? This actually happened. Happened in New Guinea on the Sepik River. There were tribes that had never heard the gospel, never even seen, quote, a white person before, had no written language. And two ladies, two sisters who were linguistics, were sent by the Wycliffe Bible Society to this village to try to translate a language so they can give them the Bible in their own tongue. When they got there, by the way, they weren't headhunters, things like that. They were just tribes, indigenous people. And they never saw a white person before. So that was their way in. But they couldn't communicate. There was no written language. So over a span of time, they had to win their friendship. They had to eat the things they ate. They had to live among them. And eventually, they learned enough of the language. They were able to present the gospel. She had 15, Marilyn had 15 boys helping her. One day she says to them, "What do you do that's bad? Or what don't you do that's bad?" And the little boy says, "We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't kill. We shouldn't steal." And Marilyn says, "Wow, they have no Bible. They have no missionary contact. Yet God has written into the hearts of every boy and girl His moral law." They knew it. Over time, they got saved. They come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And to me, it was just a thrilling story of adventure how these two women would come in by faith and God answered prayer. Fearful, first one on the list, liars, last one. Are you fearful tonight? Fear is a very terrible thing. It's been said, "Fear not," and one of its derivatives is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the year. God does not want you to live in fear. Fear. He wants you to live in the victory that we have in Jesus. One of the other verses we had for VBS was in Galatians, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me." And again, I'm not beating anybody up, but Mr. Smith, Mr. Miller, Mrs. White, Mr. Russell, and Miss Eddie, they never died for anybody. They never bore anybody's sins. They were never punished for anybody's sins. Jesus was for you. We sang, "If you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it." You know, I love this because it's a living book. Some people are afraid to smile or think their face is going to crack. We're happy people. And it should be radiant to others that, hey, this is real. I'm a Christian. I'm a C. I'm a C-H. I'm a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-N. They like to sing that. How many of us know that? Let's sing that. Sing it twice. Think of it. He says, "I am a." And I'm not going to pick on names. But what are you? What are you? What are you? Are you a C-H? What are you? What are you? How about you in the back corner? Or you're like the fellow who's heard it all his life and it comes out, "Oh, they've been saying that for years and he hasn't come yet." That's true, he hasn't come yet. But he is. So let's believe on the name. Who is it? Jesus. Jesus. What were we going to sing? Oh, I'm a C-H. I'm a C. I'm a C-H. I'm a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-N. And I have C-H-R-A-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will live in the E-T-R-N-A-L-M. Faster now. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-N. And I have C-H-R-A-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-T-R-N-E-L-L-Y. You know what you just did, friends? If you actually said that from the heart, you confess to everybody in this room that you're a Christian. But I saw some, their lips weren't even moving. Oh, it's real, my friend. Don't walk out of this room still lost in your sins. Brother Roach came and talked to the young people in Roseville, and he presented in such a way that I hadn't heard it before, and it really touched my heart. So when you walk out of this room, my friend, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, what you're really doing is turning your back on Him. You're turning your back on Jesus. How can you turn your back on such a wonderful friend who came all the way down from the courts of glory, took your cause, interceded on your behalf, was punished, bore your sins in His own body on the tree, and yet you would have the nerve to turn your back on Him? Friend, you turn your back on Him, that last soul gets saved. You may be walking down that sidewalk there and the last person gets saved and you've turned your back on Him and you look around and, hey, where'd everybody go? It's too late. You're left behind. What you've heard is true, boys and girls. What you've heard is true. Very powerful verse in Galatians. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. The recovery of the truth, Satan rejects that. If you take a stand for him, make sure you're on his hit list. I tell my brother, my son Don, the more you seek to serve the Lord, Don, the higher you are on his hit list, because he doesn't want that. And if you seek to serve the Lord, be careful. The enemy is going to do whatever he can. But you know, time is just about gone. I can relay this. Boys and girls, young people, Tim loves you. Bernie loves you. We love you. It's your spiritual welfare we're concerned with. Those of you who are still lost in your sin, it's your eternal destiny. Come then and join this holy band and on to glory go. Oh, if there's somebody in this room tonight who would love to confess the Lord Jesus as Savior, I'm sure Tim's heart would be overjoyed. Come and speak with him and Bernie. If they know more about you than I do, I probably couldn't tell you 10 of your names. But they do. They love you. They care about you. And they want you to realize far greater. There's a God in heaven looking down in tender love. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Father. Let's just pray. And if there's somebody in this room not sure, doesn't know, even far worse, doesn't care, may the Lord do what is needed to wake your heart. Father, do we earnestly pray that each boy and girl, older one too, truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He is indeed the Son of God. He is the true God. He is the living God. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou wast God and Thou art God manifest in the flesh. Excuse me. And we thank Thee that we know from Thy precious word, Lord Jesus, that Thou ever was the Son of God. We bless Thee, we praise Thee, and if there's one in this room still lost in their sins, may they come to know Jesus and bring joy to the heart of God and to Tim and Bernie and others who love these dear young people. Bless this time, we pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. I have $5 here that I offered if somebody could show me where work is in this. And if I gave this $5 to that person, he earned it. He worked for it. But if I was simply to say, if anybody wants this $5, all you have to do is get out of that chair, walk up here and say, may I have it? It's yours. That's grace. That's just simply giving it away.
Yes, you may.
And that's all it is, my friend. God is offering you salvation. All you need to do is take it, accept it by faith.